Well, before we get too carried away, let us cross to Ben for the sport. Yes. I mean, he's not here for his health, as I said last week. And he's feeling better. I mean, he's walking, which is a great thing. Last week he was better. And now he's even better than that. You can move.
It's been a bad couple of weeks, to be honest with you. Winter, it's like the, you know, I had the depths of winter.
My great-grandmother used to say when I said, how are you, great-grandmother Gracie? And she'd go, I've had a bad turn.
Yeah.
And you're starting to sound like her.
But I'm also horribly honest. I'm like, I'm so annoyingly honest. Someone says, how are you doing? I've never once in my life said, fine, and you. I think that's
they're not actually asking you because they want a list of your...
I don't give them lists. I don't give them lists, but I give them a synopsis in a few words.
Well, isn't it the worst thing when you ask someone, how are you? And they start unloading. Well, I've got the gout.
I don't unload.
The Crohn's disease.
I don't unload. I don't say take
a
chair.
Have you got Crohn's disease?
Probably not.
You went almost probably. All right. Here is the sport brought to you by Ben and Superbets. Of course, every week we check out all the great sporting events that you can bet on this weekend with Superbets. But let's get to Wimbledon finals for a start.
You want to start Wimbledon finals?
Yeah, because I mentioned to Simpiwa, it's one of the things I watch. It's become like a winter tradition routine for me. I like it.
It is. I remember Wimbledon's a fond memory for me because that was winter holidays as a kid.
Yeah.
Which meant just holiday time, doing fun things. And even though it was winter in Cape Town and it was rainy, you know, we'd go to the garden route and Wimbledon would be there, that theme tune in the background. It's kind of like, it's a bit like the Masters for me. It's like tennis's version of the Masters. Same theme tune, everything's green.
It always appears to me that Wimbledon is put together really beautifully. And my parents were lucky enough to go there like 2019.
Mm.
And I mean, they've still got the little pass.
Oh, yeah.
I know, they were so chuffed. My dad had to wear a suit and you dress properly. And he said the military are all there in their finery. It's strawberries and cream. And it's like it's one of those things where the world aims up and behaves itself.
Very well
put. Not like one of those things like spring break where everyone's a hot tour girl.
Exactly.
It's like everyone knows they have to be at their best when they go to something like that. And same goes for the Masters. And that's why those are things that people value. Those things have tremendous brand value, to put it in marketing terms.
Huge.
Because not everybody's invited. And if you are, you can't make your own rules. You have to follow the rules. So I think Wimbledon's awesome.
I totally agree. There's been a lot of rain this year. So for the first time, I think, I can't remember when last this happened, but the men's final won't be the final thing. It'll be the doubles final.
Yes.
But that's not really a big
thing.
No one's going to talk about that this weekend. So into the men's semis today. We've got two men's semis, and they're going to be fantastic, fantastic clashes because we've got Medvedev, who beats Sinner, the top seed.
Right. Medvedev is not the former president of Russia.
No, but he is Russian, so he had to actually be given a bit of a skip. Wimbledon said, you can't play because you're Russian. And this poor oak, never gone to war. He just wants to hit a ball, and he was just told because of his country that he couldn't play. So,
poor guy.
I mean, karma's going to come back, and here he is in the semis. He beats Sinner, the top seed. Now, Sinner was a bit ill. Mm-hmm. He gets a bit ill from time to time. Don't know why, but yeah.
Got and Crohn's disease.
Probably has, If you want to unpack what he's got, he's probably got Crohn's disease. And he's taking on Carlos Alcaraz. Now, Alcaraz, as you know, he is the defending champ.
Mm-hmm. We like him.
He is
A plucky young Spanish man,
and he's made of rubber and dreams, basically, because he just runs after everything, and he's really, really good. He's like, he's a combination of like Roger Federer and Boris Becker without the infidelity. He really is just, I think he's the full package. He's great to watch, amazing hair, and he, I think, is the favorite. Obviously, he's seeded third, Medvedev's fifth, but that's going to be a great one. That's semi-final number one. Mm-hmm. And then we got Novak Djokovic, the greatest Novak Djokovic. He has got, I think this is his 13th semifinal.
Amazing.
He's been in the final 9 times, and he's won it 7 times. I mean, that's just incredible. You win Wimbledon once, you are seen as the greatest. I mean, I think Andy Murray won it once, and that'll be it.
And they don't stop talking about him.
It'll be the thing that's dined out forever. Don't chip me on that. So Djokovic is playing Lorenzo Musetti, something for the ladies.
Lorenzo.
Yeah, nice young Italian gent, flowing hair, olive skin. And he's done bloody well to get the semis, obviously.
Sure.
Djokovic had a walkover because the Aussie he was taking on had a hip injury. So, you know, Djokovic come back from the knee injury. We're not entirely sure how good he's going to be if pushed to 5 sets by somebody. I think if he gets the final versus Alcaraz, I don't see him winning. Purely on wear, tear, and stamina.
Is this a hot tip?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the thing about experience is that it gets you so far. And as we've seen in rugby and other sort of sports, that sometimes it's just really good to be strong, fit, fast, and fantastic.
See, this is the serious expertise people come for, Ben. Mm. This is why people take you seriously.
Well, I just, it is. And it's a young man's game. And Djokovic is 38. So you can be brilliant. Damn, you can be on his game completely. But there's this time at a final in particular that you're going to get a bit of a low. You're going to be 15-40 out of nowhere. And Djokovic, I just don't think he's going to have the physical edge like he used to.
All right. But most of the peasants in England will be far more focused on football. They don't really care about tennis.
Can you just put your misogyny in your pocket for 2 seconds?
Misogyny?
While we talk about the women's final.
Oh, right.
You want to dash straight into the football.
Sorry. That's me being a man of the people, caring about what the common folk like.
Oh, how dare you? Saturday, the women's final.
Yeah,
we will see
go.
Paulini versus Krejcikova.
Okay, yeah. That's nice of you to mention them. Let's move back to
wait, Stretcher who?
Stretcher who? Krejcikova.
Stretcher who?
Stretcher who?
Krejcikova. Wow, she's
hop to a stretcher over, girl.
So we've got the 31st seed versus the 7th. And we like Paulini again. Also, Italian. Ethiopian. There's a bit of a mix going on there. She was at Roland Garros.
Exciting time.
She was in the final.
So
there.
She was basically a product of some Italian who conquered Haile Selassie in Ethiopia and decided to stay. That's probably what happened there. Mm-hmm. Interesting overlap of Italian and Ethiopian in World War II.
Striking. Beautiful personality. She did bloody well through her semi-final, and she's into a final.
Okay.
Two finals in a row, and I'm backing her. Seeing as Ons Jabeur, who was
Ons Jabeur,
she's disappointing.
Oh,
she's just not delivering.
We
were behind her all the way, Africa's superstar, and she's done nothing. But I tell you who has done something. These young kids from Spain.
Yes.
Now, this guy called Yamal, he's turning 17 tomorrow. He's already scored a goal in the Euros. He's bloody good. 17.
Sure.
Like legit, he's a small boy.
His name? Yamal.
Lamine Yamal.
Sounds like something someone would say to you on the Cape Flats.
Lamine
Yamal. You didn't give them Yamal, men.
Yeah.
Yamal, your malam.
Lamine Yamal. And he looks a bit from there as well. I got to be honest. He doesn't look like a Carlos Alcaraz. He doesn't look like a Spanish person. But there's him. And then sort of like slightly less of attention is Nico Williams on the other wing. So Spain have got these two young wings. Nico Williams is 21. Again, not exactly the most Spanish of names.
No.
Nor does he look it.
No. But
this Spanish team is just full of all kinds of ballers, right?
You see, this is why the Spanish don't want tourists anymore. None of them look like Spanish people. Now they're in the football team.
But it's such an exciting team to watch. So you got the two youngsters. I mean, when you saw the quarters versus Germany, like Spain were coasting. They really were.
Yeah.
They took these two lighties off and suddenly Germany got back into the game. So I would say that they're going to keep playing with a bit more free flow, passion, flair, a bit of fun. Whereas England, like this is the first time they've made a massive final away from England, because obviously the 1966, they had the World Cup, the only thing they've ever won. Mm-hmm. And then last time out in the Euros, they lost to Italy at home.
Mm-hmm.
Post-COVID, everyone lost their mind. They're at five.
Right.
I'll never forget, I've spoken about this on the show before, I think, is that when Djokovic won Wimbledon and then they put the cameras on to all the England fans, there was a guy with a flare up his asshole and he was doing cocaine.
Yeah.
And they were just losing the plot. And then eventually England lost that final as well, which made it even worse. Yeah. People were storming into Wembley and it was just a disaster.
I remember that. But a real show of like good football hooliganism.
It is. So that game is Sunday, 9 o'clock. That is the Euro 2024 final. It's just been an up and down tournament because I think the players have been just playing too much.
Yeah.
But England played their best game last time out against Netherlands. There's no doubt about it. They played bloody well. Whatever Southgate said, or maybe they just eventually got together and said, guys, we can't be shite the whole time. So they managed, just like the English rugby team, they managed to somehow get into a final, get into the latter stages of the tournament without being great. And here they got a chance to be great. But I want to see this young Spanish team just do the business. They're a lot more interesting to watch.
So you're not backing England?
Nah, I'm not backing them. But we don't need to talk about rugby. Rugby is a huge weekend of rugby.
Yeah.
It's so big because we got the Box taking on the Irish again. Now, in Durban, where very little happens, very little good happens, you guys get you guys get to embrace the whole Bock machine this week. I say the Bock machine because we saw last week at Loftus, it's a proper theater production now. When the Springboks are there, it's the biggest thing you can have in this country.
And because they're near Belita, they might even bring out Patricia Lewis.
That would be amazing.
They might. She lives there.
That would be amazing because, I mean, I think what normally happens now is that we'll get like other sports people who've done really well. They, you know, walk around a bit. Then we get, we should have like the finest day of SA.
Yeah.
That's what every Bock test should be called.
Right.
And wherever they go in the country, so they're going to Bloemfontein next week. They can bring out.
Who lives there?
I don't know.
It's just it's got to be somebody.
But every time the Bock goes somewhere, we should have that. Patricia Lewis, can you imagine her like transitioning from the one section of Ikoli Sikulele like to the other, and she just does it with her hair?
Yeah, I think it'd be huge. Very nostalgic.
Not after the week we've had. Like, I saw the clips of when they were singing the national anthem and just how proud the crowd was and how like everyone was just like singing and, you know, like that's the standard now, you know? So...
I'm sorry, you're speaking like Patricia Lewis is not of a high standard. No. I'm just not sure if I'm getting you.
I'm just saying, I'm not sure if she can bring that.
Oh, trust me.
How dare you? I mean, this is worse than Cliff's misogyny.
I like this. That Don Kitty says, Bock Tour is here.
There we go. See, Bock Tour. Can you imagine, you know when you transition to 8D Blow when Patricia does this?
Yeah, imagine.
That would be such a thing. And then she does her own Bock Tour. Let's talk about the rugby. So the Bocks obviously had a new game plan last week. Very controversial when you think of it. All the success was based on the fact that 9 and 10 will kick it and everyone else will just block some mokes. And we were all okay with that. And now all of a sudden, Rusty's evolving into these like amazing running moves where everyone just goes from side to side and the ball gets thrown around. It's quite something. If it's going to really work against, say, New Zealand in really big games, I'm not sure. But it worked last week against the Irish. First time we've beaten them since 2017, I think.
Yeah.
Which is good. And, of course, we need to win this because if the Irish come here and win one game, they're going to Andy Murray it. They're going to talk about it forever. It's going to be the big thing. You guys didn't beat us at home, blah, blah, blah. We have to win this. The Irish, they've got some injuries. But even more interestingly, they've dropped their captain to the bench, Mahoney.
Oh.
I think what they've said is, like, that's it. You've had your run. You weren't good enough last week. You're long in the tooth. We're going to start you from the bench. And Doris is now captaining. I mean,
Doris.
Quite a turnover.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
What? Is it he?
Yeah. What's his last name?
It's Doris. Not a woman called Doris. It's what Ben's saying. And his name is Marnie.
Mahoney's been dropped to the bench and Doris has been brought in to be captain. Now, Doris had a fantastic game.
Ooh, Doris.
As coming on as a loose forward.
I mean, you expect like the lady at the shops. You know, the cashier. Doris.
How are you? And then she's going to be like, my problems. And then he's just like, no, you'll be fine. God bless you. See you next week. Doris
is going to be their last roll of the dice to lead with Doris. And hopefully everyone comes, you know, goes up. But they've got like the third string scrum off now. They've got their sort of Liam Hemsworth lookalike fly off. It needs to do something fantastic.
Yeah, right.
So, look, the Irish are a good side. We know they're good. They always have been good. But I'm just going to back the Bocks in this. But there's three other major test matches over the weekend. We've got the All Blacks taking on England. Ooh. They're playing at Eden Park.
Eden Park.
Now, that's not because there's three A's in that word. It's just that's how they talk. And they haven't lost there since 1994.
Ooh.
The last time they lost there, they lost against an interesting French
1994.
Team.
1994. That's almost... Oh, never mind. I'm not.
1994.
It's going to reveal my age.
Yeah, I mean, a Spanish kid was like...
He was not even a thought in his parents' head.
I mean, 30 years, stop getting to mass. This isn't the show strong.
30 years ago.
But England were great in that first test. I think they showed a lot of pluck and a lot of courage. But this All Black team was quite nervy because they got a new coach, Scott Robertson. Also, like, they shouldn't play Damian McKenzie at 10. I just don't think it's going to work, especially against a team like England. Okay. So the All Blacks are going to win that one. Then we've got a tier two game between Australia and Wales. I say tier two because what else they got going on there?
Shame.
I don't think they're as good. But it was a decent enough match last week. It'll be again, Australia going to win that one. And then once you've got through all of those games, the Bock tests at 5, by the way. You can watch the Aussies and Wales 11:45 and then the New Zealand, England at 9:05. And then at 9 o'clock at night, if you love rugby that much, you can watch in Buenos Aires. You can watch Argentina versus France. Huh. Now, France, when they tour on overseas tours, whatever, they don't really want to send their best talent because they're too busy in the chateaus or just having a summer or whatever
they do. Or revolting in the streets of Paris.
Or watching the Tour de France. But they don't really like to travel. So they sent all the youngsters out there.
Right.
Which is great for rugby because after that first test, they beat Argentina in Mendoza, which is a really big thing. That's like going to, I don't know,
Bloemfontein.
Bloemfontein and winning. So that was a really big deal. But then after that, when you send these lighties out, obviously they lost the plot. Two of them got arrested for sexual assault.
Yeah, well.
Right off the bat. One of which has already been suspended from rugby for a year from testing positive for cocaine. So these folks went there and they went to Jewell.
Sure.
They had to play Uruguay midweek, so they've had a full week. And now they're going to play a much more fired-up Argentina.
Listen, I hate to rush you, but it's 7:05 already. Sorry. People have got things to do. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap it up. But this, of course, is just part of what happens on a Friday with Ben. And it's our fault.
I'm about to finish.
All right.
You have a big finish.
Let's go.
So those are your four games. And if you back all of them, you back these Argies to finally come good against a problematic bunch of French youth.
Right.
The odds on this multiplier are great. So the box to win, All Blacks to win, Aussies to win, Argentina to win, 1.88. This is what I'm betting on this week. My hypothetical 100 will return 388 as my net in my super bet balance.
Ha, ka-ching.
This is why I was getting so excited about it, because it's a multiplier that I'm so damn excited about.
Beautiful.
It's just results.
I love it. No, okay.
Those four teams to win.